Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
I want to go straight to the word. Sundays, I have a culture. I have no problem. On Sundays, I have this thing that disturbs me, that reading the word while standing feels a bit spiritual. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you don't mind, let's be upstanding because it's a service and we are going to be reading the book of Job chapter 14 and verse number 14. And if possible, whoever is on the screen, give us Amplified Bible. Amplified, because that's what I really want to use, and then I will be able to declare God's word in the precious name of Jesus. I'll be utilizing the Amplified translation. Job 14, J-O-B 14, 14. I hope we have it on the screen. Amplified Bible. 14, 14. 14, 14. Yes, this is the one. This is the one. So if you don't mind, we could read it all together. Is that okay? So let's take it together. One to go. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my warfare and service, I will wait till my change and release shall come. Lord, I ask you to bless your word. Strengthen me as I speak it. Let it be that, God, your word will come profoundly yet simply. Let it have a free course. Let it be glorified. And thank you for unbroken utterance, even in the speakings of your word. In Jesus' name, and we all shouted a good amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats in God's presence. When Pastor Stan was able to reach out to me, courtesy also of his team, and extend to me the invite to also become a blessing to this ministry in terms of speaking and also to join in to celebrate what the Lord is doing, I began to pray because he never gave me a particular theme in which I should be able to build upon. And in the point of prayer, the Lord laid it in my heart to speak from this particular scripture in Job 14, 14. And I picked up the Amplified Bible because it expounds on the words, and there are particular words which we'll be looking at: warfare, service, change, and release, which are very pertinent words and important while building on this text. And the title of my message is My Change and My Release Has Come. My Change and My Release Has Come. Now, we are all aware, and this is something that we are all have been able to hear, that life is a journey. That is something that is sure. That's why we constantly tell people that whenever you're taking life, never take it as a sprint, but rather take it as a marathon. You do this recognizing that each step is valuable. In fact, some person once said that a thousand steps starts with one step. So if you ever want to begin a journey, just begin with one. And every moment that you keep on moving, you have to constantly have the culture of celebrating every point of progress. That's why it's important to have anniversaries like this one. When we are gathered to celebrate the doing of the Lord and to recognize that 2 years have been able to pass by, it's not just an event, it's a recognition that in this journey, the Lord has been the helper of this assignment. Numbers chapter 33, we see an account that God puts a command in the mouth of Moses, and God goes ahead to tell him to make sure that he records the entire journey. Let me just reach there in Numbers. You don't need to do it in Amplified. Numbers chapter number 33. And so he goes ahead to tell him that you have to get a record of the entire journey. Verse number 1, he says, these are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and under the hand of Aaron. In verse number 2, he goes ahead to say, and Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their goings. So there had to be a recording of the entire journey. If you read it throughout, you will see them beginning all the way from Ramses, going through the wilderness of Sinai, the wilderness of Kadesh, and different stations throughout their journey. God placed a demand that they had to be a recording. I will repeat again. That is why it is essential to continually celebrate every point of your life. I've heard somebody once say, the aspect of celebrating birthdays is not as much important. What is the need of doing so? And let me say this, sometimes when people keep on speaking like that, they forget the words that Job actually declares. Shall a man live if he die? The truth is, life is only lived once. So at every point you actually have a moment of being able to celebrate, then you do your best to celebrate it. I don't know whether I gave the story of a man called John Kaka, who was a Tanzanian marathoner who represented his nation in the year 1968. And when the man was going ahead to represent his nation, they said the gun went off. And you know, Tanzanians cannot be able to run. We all agree about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the guy went ahead and he was able to run for his nation. He did his best. The race came to an end. The stadium was closed up. When the stadium was actually closed, it was only 45 minutes later. This is after the race was concluded, that the main gates were open again. And guess who was still running? John Kaka. He had a bandage on his left leg. He couldn't run so fast. He would only take a few steps and stop. Blood was gushing out of his knee. And the reason was because he fell. He had hurt himself. But he kept on running. He did the first round. And then did the second round. Every event in the stadium had stopped. By the time he crossed the finishing line, everyone rose up and began to clap. Didn't even understand why, but at least somebody had finished their race. And that time the news crew ran to him and they began to ask him the question, why are you still running and the race was finished 45 minutes earlier? He gave an answer that was quite resounding. He said, my nation never sent me to begin what I cannot finish. He committed himself to be a finisher. The time he went back to Tanzania, they gave him a presidential reception, gave him a house, and were able to ensure that they took care of him. He never finished as a first one, but the fact that he committed to finish the race was enough to cause him to be celebrated. Ladies and gentlemen, life is lived once. When you have the opportunity, no matter what you go through, it is essential you maximize it. Psalms chapter number 90, the man Moses writes this psalm. We are aware that the book of Psalms basically has about 11 writers. But in Psalms 90, we see Moses beginning to write it. In his write-ups, he creates an argument. He says, man can only live 70 years. And unless he has strength, that is when he will do 80 years. Now, this is where a lot of people begin to say that the cap of life is about 80. That if a person has lived up to 80, he has done well. Now, please understand, the one who actually made that statement lived 120 years. Not only that, the same person that actually made the statement did it by observation, not by God's decision. The originality of how far we can live in life is 120 years according to Genesis chapter number 6. That is the first time that God said the cup can be about 120 years. But Psalms 90 is simply an observation that Moses goes ahead to go ahead and make. But anyway, when he's going ahead to say this 70, 80, if a man will strengthen himself, he continues, then he reaches verses number 12 and begins to make a prayer. And this is a prayer that he makes in verses number 12. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Verse 15, he continues. He says, return, O God. And then he says, Lord, that you may be with us. In verses number 14, he says, and satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice all the day long. From verses number 12 to the last verse, all that Moses is doing is to raise a prayer because he understands the value of life. Ladies and gentlemen, life is lived once. And when you have the opportunity to live it, then you have to make sure you live it to the maximum. When we observe the book of Job, chapter number 14, we see how he comes to a place whereby he's now declaring how he wished he was not born. By the way, historians actually give a record. And this is what they say concerning Job, that Job actually was a son of Issachar. Now, if you read the book of Genesis 46 and verse 19, we could check it out. Genesis 46 and verse 19, you will notice that Issachar had three sons. The three sons that Issachar had, Genesis 46 and verse 13 rather, amongst them the second one was Job, verses number 13, sorry. And the sons of Issachar, Tola, Puza, the third one was Job, and the last one was Shimron. There are some theologians that argue out of historical facts that this was not really Job. But the reason why we can prove it is him is because he had a friend of his called Elphas. And the friend of his called Elphas, who had a conversation with him, also was a son of Esau. And being a son of Esau, this man also recognizes the father of Job and tells Job that he himself was older than Job himself. Wow, man of God, you're welcome. Can we give the Lord a clap offering because of Pastor Chris? You're welcome, son. So in 1 Chronicles, you can check this out, chapter number 1 and verses number 35. 1 Chronicles 1 and verse 35, we see that Elphas is actually a son of the man that is known as Esau. Elphas is a son of Esau. Now, since we understand that he was a son of Elphas, we can therefore be able to connect certain factors together. That this man called Elphas was a son of Esau appears also in the book of Job, has a conversation with Job, and is able to discuss with Job certain factors that are able to establish that he himself indeed was a son of Esau, and Job must must have been the son of Issachar. Why am I giving you all these facts? I'm giving you all these facts because when we look at the life of Job, there's a lot that we can learn from him before we can come to everything that we are actually studying. The first fact that we can observe in the life of Job, being a son of Issachar, was a studious man when it came to times and seasons. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 12 and verses number 32. The Bible says concerning the sons of Issachar that they understood the times and the seasons. They were only 700 in number, but they were able to lead the children of Israel because of the ability to discern times and seasons. So what was able to make Job a man that was able to be great wasn't necessarily because he was only a rich man. Because later on when we look at him, we see him beginning to struggle in one way or the other. Job labors in a very difficult season. Not because he had sinned against God. People have tried to observe that maybe it was his fear, according to what he said, that created a problem. But as long as we study the Bible in Job 1, the person that had an issue was God. God was the one that began the crisis. It was he that called the devil and asked him the question, "Have you considered my servant Job?" By the way, that submits to us that some warfares are between God and proving a point to the devil, and he has allowed it to happen in your life. They are battles you can never understand. You just leave it to the sovereignty of God, and you believe that at the end of the day, he will glorify himself. I know in Africa, anytime battles begin, it must be an auntie in the village. Your amen is disappearing. Ask your neighbor, what prophecy have you been given of late? Amen. In Africa, if there is a battle, it has to be a generational battle. Everything that we look at whenever we see warfare in Africa has to be generational. But ladies and gentlemen, understand that there are some that remain in the sovereignty of God. Job's own was there. God allowed us to have his own story written so that we understand that particular account. Now Job underwent all these things. And then in Job chapter number 14, he begins to lament, but comes to a place, he says, if a man dies, shall he live again? And he makes a conclusion that all the days, I'm using Amplified Bible, of my warfare, somebody say warfare. Say it like you're in church. Shout it again, say warfare. Say it one more time, say again, warfare. Shout it one more time, say again, warfare. He says, all the days of my warfare and change, shall I wait? And warfare and service, shall I wait until my change and release will appear? Ladies and gentlemen, in observation, what Job was simply trying to say is that a man is able to maximize himself in consideration of various factors. So in Job 14, we see two platforms of grace. Platform number one is a platform of warfare. Platform number two is a platform of grace. Two platforms of grace. Most of times, when people talk of grace, their consideration is a force that enables people to either get into salvation or to enjoy the life of salvation. But I want you to understand that grace can never be without law. Law exposes a need for grace. If you hear me say, I hear you. Shout it loudly. Say again, I hear you. Law exposes the need for grace. Now, that is to tell you that when we are saying warfare is a platform of grace, our suggestion therefore is this, that every time a person is in war, he is actually on a platform that expresses grace. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10. Stay with me. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says that after you have suffered a while, the God of all grace, the God of all grace, I wish I had somebody to shout amen right here. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who imparts, just give us King James. I know I began with Amplified, but whoever is there, just return us back to King James. It is a bit lighter. And then he says, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect, establish, and he will strengthen you. So warfare is a platform that grace is expressed. The moment a person is under a lot of battle, it is not necessarily an indicator that they are going under, but an indicator that help must be made available. Job in his life made an understanding that he had seen clearly both the side of tremendous success, but also on the flip side, he had seen what warfare can be able to do. And Job had to come up with his statement that all the days of my warfare, recognizing the value of war, I have realized men that make an impact are not men that had it easy. Men that have value are people that were processed. Joyce Meyer was giving a story. In a story, she said she went to an Italian shop. When she walked in like this, She found that at the counter, the attendee was not there. The attendant wasn't there. She pressed the bell. The lady was not coming. She wanted to buy some jewelry. And then later on, she looked and noticed a door was open and discovered the person who was to attend to her was at the far back looking at something and not even turning his head. And so after a while, the man was done with what he did, walked all the way to this woman of God and asked her what she wanted. And Joyce Meyer began to engage a conversation with her. And asked, I pressed the bell enough times. I've been beckoning you to come and I'm here to give you money. How could you take that long? The man said, well, I was melting a golden item and I needed the item to come out extremely pure. Joyce Meyer asked him, what do you mean? And that is when the man said, if I made a mistake, I would have lost this golden item in bringing it into its exactness. So Joyce Meyer knew I have an opportunity to learn something here. So she went ahead and began to ask a question. So how do you know that the item is ready? The man began to explain. Number one, during the time when I am smelting the item, I have to make no mistake of bringing it out early, lest I bring it out with impurities. Number one. Number two, I cannot allow it to extend its time, lest it begins to melt. That's why the Bible says oppression makes a wise man mad. If you stay too long in warfare, it will make you crazy. I want you to look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I refuse to stay too long there. That one doesn't look good. Turn to the other one that doesn't look like a suspect and tell them, neighbor, I refuse to stay long there. So we make an observation, just stay with me, because I'm taking you on a journey. So we make an observation in this particular scripture, and we notice, in this story, first of all, let me go back there. We notice that Joyce Meyer says she began to demand the man, and told the man that you have therefore to tell me, how do you know? The man says, the moment I see the reflection of my face on the item, that is when I will know that the item is well prepared. Joyce Meyer said, please repeat what you just said. The man said, when I see my face reflect, then I will know that the item is ready. Ladies and gentlemen, when God decides that he will process you in war, the thing he's looking for is to see himself. If you do not appear, then God is not ready to bring you out in grace. Warfare is a platform of grace. Every time you face a battle, it is building something in you. In fact, to confirm your prophetic destiny, you do not need a prophet to know that this is where God is about to take you to. You can confirm your prophetic destiny looking at the battles you are facing. If I see war around my finances, I don't need a prophet to tell me that God is making me a financial guru. If I see war around my health, I don't need a prophet to tell me that there is healing virtue flowing in my life. People like Pastor Benny Hinn were people that had hard conditions. Men that were stutterers whenever they stood to speak. But look at what they are able to do today. From their pain came their grace. God will always allow you to have war as a platform of grace in your life. Tap your neighbor, tell your neighbor, war is good. Look at the other one, tell your neighbor, neighbor, war is necessary. Turn to the third one for me and help me preach to them. Tell them again, neighbor, war is essential. When God was leading the children of Israel, he could not take them straight into the promised land. He opted a different journey because he said, they have never seen war. There are things God will never expose you to without war. War is what helps you to move to the next level. My wife was giving birth to my firstborn. Initially, we had actually been waiting on the Lord for it to be natural. And so while she was giving birth, I used to hear her shout, "Woy!" And she would press my hand. The other words were, "Nena kufa!" And I'm looking at her. You're not dying. You're only pushing out a baby. But that time when you're looking at her, she feels like you're the cause of all hawala. You are the cause of the pain she's actually suffering at that hour. I remember that time in the hospital, there was a curtain that divided and there was another woman on the other side who was a Luya woman. Praise the name of the Lord. So my wife is from Central, I'm from Western. And so one other Luya woman was on the other side. And I can tell you, in Western, people can really produce voices. So my wife would shout on one side, "Nina Kufa." The other one says, "Nina Enda." It was like a choir when I was hearing them. But do you know, it was required that they had to have the pain for the production of a child. War is a part of class in life. There are three reasons war is a platform of grace. Number one, for validation and approval. You are never approved without warfare. Men that God approves must have had some dimension of war. People may look good and smell well, but you really don't know the battles they fight.
But what makes them what they are the battles that they are actually going through. Platform of grace number one is war. If you embrace war in a positive way, you will generate grace in an uncommon way. Let no one ever lie to you that grace is only a prayer matter. Grace is only a knowledge matter. No, there is a place that grace requires pressing, process, pain, warfare. Even if you won't say amen, I carried my own. And by the time you go ahead and you walk through that journey, grace is manifested. I pray for every person that has been having war in this congregation, that may the Lord help you to generate grace in your place of warfare. I never had your amen. I said, may the Lord help you to generate grace in your place of warfare. If you believe it, shout aloud amen and give the Lord a clap offering of praise right here. Genesis 27 and verse 27. Let's look at the scripture and make an observation of a man of God called Esau, who had made a blunder and knew that he had to redeem himself. Esau was the firstborn amongst the two. Look at verse 33. If possible, go to verse 33, somewhere there where the Bible talks about a burden that will come on him. You can check it out for me. Where Isaac is blessing the son. Go down a little bit. Let me take you through to a teaching first of all. Verse 34, go down. Verse 35, you could go down. Just give me a minute, I'm coming. 36, you could go down. 37, you could go down. It is 40, yeah? Okay, verse number 40, you could go there. Let's see whether it will be there. Yes, this is what I wanted to pick. Now, before I could be able to explain this scripture or come to that scripture, let me explain. Esau, the Bible records very clearly, was the one to receive the birthright. Now, you must understand that in Genesis 26, he actually gave it away. Now, you have to realize that by the time Genesis 27 opens up, the mother recognizes that a moment for the blessing has already been created. The mother engages Jacob and tells him, I want you to go ahead and take it away. Now, she knew, according to prophetic mandate or instruction, that the one to receive the right of the firstborn and the blessing from the father was Isaac, was Jacob and not Esau. So she was willing to take a risk because she had had God. The problem was Esau had favor, follow me very well, because of the soup he used to cook for the father. You know, there are things you do to your father that makes them love you, not necessarily because you are the one to receive the blessing, but because of the actions you do. Are you following me here? So now the Bible says that all of a sudden, the time of the blessing when it came, the man who is known as Jacob takes it away. When Jacob takes it away and Esau appears, Esau notices the moment that should have come for him has already disappeared. So what does he do? He cries out and tells the father, don't you even have one blessing for me? Now I want you to listen to me very carefully. The reason why Esau had to do that is that he had to redeem himself. All of you may have read the Bible. He says, Esau I have hated, Jacob I have loved. So God says he hated Esau. Why? Because he despised his birthright. And now Esau understands the need of redeeming himself, and he declares to the father, don't you even have one blessing? So the father checks within his boils, pulls out one, and begins to release it. Now look at what he says here. He says, and unto Esau he said, and by the sword shalt thou live and serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt have dominion, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break the yoke from off your neck. Now one translation says it this way. He says that the time you will actually, give me another translation if you don't mind, NIV, if you have NIV, the same verse, NIV, same verse, NIV, go back to the same verse. NIV. He says, you will live by the sword. You will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, somebody say restless. Shout it loudly. Say again, restless. He says, when you will grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Give us another translation. There's one that talks about power. King James talks about dominion. One other translation talks about power. But what I wanted to pick here was the word restless. If you have another translation, there are things that I want us to pick. And so Esau hated, verse 40, please. Verses number 40. Isaac, yours, verse 40, please. Verse number 40.
TLB doesn't have verse 40.
Huh? Verse number 40. Give us another translation. Any other? By your sword shall you live and serve your brother. But the time shall come when you will grow what? Talk to me. When you will grow what? And break what? And you shall do what? Tear his yoke from where? Now, what God was telling him, because you are taking it easy in life, Now you have no option to learn apart from through warfare. In other words, you will have to learn through the aspect of pain, and by that you will be able to break out of this condition. Now, if you progress and observe the life of this man called Esau, and read the scriptures in Genesis 33 and verse number 6, when the brother who is known as Jacob meets him, Jacob prepares to give him a lot of things. But Esau gives an answer. He said, I have need of nothing because I have more than enough. With only one blessing, Esau was able to break the yoke that his brother had put upon his life. Esau understood that I may be limited, but I still have power to come out. War is necessary. And today I came to declare to somebody who has been having war, grace is about to visit your corner today. When you shout amen, it's already coming to you right now. So number one, why is warfare necessary? One, simply because it comes to confirm you. It validates you. It approves you. A man of war is a confirmed man. A man of war is a man who is validated and qualified that they are ready for the levels they are supposed to enter. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Anytime you are timid in this kingdom, you don't go far. Anytime you are weak in this kingdom, you never progress. A young lady that was a sixth born in her family and had five other sisters older than her. None of them had gotten married. She was 35 years of age. The others were elder than that. They lived with their grandmother in Nigeria. And because of that condition, she used to go to an Anglican church. But one day, she decided, I have to look for a solution. So what did she do? She went to a church called Mountain of Fire. Somebody say Mountain of Fire. And so when she went to this church, the man of God taught about midnight prayer. Not only midnight prayer, he also went ahead to teach about full body prayer. Full body prayer is where you pray and you release everything, telling the devil, you have to let me go. And so the girl decided, I'm going to engage. So she began three days of fasting, 3 nights of prayer. She began the first night, 12 to 3 in the morning. That morning, the grandmother, who was the one who was actually the guardian over them, came to her and asked her, were you praying at midnight? She said, yes. Why are you praying that loud? She said, yes. And the grandmother looked at her and told her, please, I beg you, don't pray so hard. Somebody will die here. When she heard that, she knew something is wrong in this place. So she decided the second day, she engaged in warfare. Third day, in warfare. Only 2 days after, for the grandmother to be found dead on the bed. The story goes that they went to clean up the room prepared for the burial. And after everything was said and done, when they were clearing the room, they found a padlock. And in the padlock, they found, when they were opening it up, 6 pieces of clothes that were bloodstained. All of them were locked in. And little did they know that all of these were during the time when they were first menstruating, that the grandmother would cut a piece and lock their destiny in order for herself to have progress in life. So she would close their lives. None will get married. I will stay rich because of each one of them. But because of the warfare of the young girl, that siege was broken. 2 months after, the girl found a fine pastor who proposed to her. Even if you won't give me an amen, I carried my own. Amen. It didn't take so long, they actually got married. Every year, each of the sisters began to get engaged and were getting married. What happened? She engaged in war, and there was a validation that doors have to open up. If you are here and you've always been timid, there are things you have to reject. There are things you have to refuse. There are things you have to make a decision that I'm living life once and I cannot allow the enemy to put me in the condition I am in. I need a shout of amen right here. Let me hear a louder shout of the amen right here. There must be a level that you reach, you look at yourself and you're wondering, Lord, shall things continue like this? And you wake up at midnight and say, Lord, things have to change on my behalf. There are things you have to look at and you consider, if grace will emerge out of here, then I will lift up a war cry against the attacks of the enemy. A young man that was actually about to turn 29 years of age had a friend of his who told him, your birthday is on the corner. Let's all go and celebrate. And so while the friend was actually telling him that, he said, we don't celebrate when we turn 29 in our family. He said, what do you mean? He said, everyone that turns 29 in our family, even the ones that are saved, new creation, they die. He said, I don't understand you. He said, that is a factor. All the male species, my father died at 29. And so the man told him, but we are born again. He said, listen, even the ones that are serious, they still die. So he told him, all right, why don't we engage a 21-day fast? Let's pray about the matter. They decided to fast for 21 days. He had never fasted for 21 days. They engaged on the 21st day. He saw a dark being appearing to him in a dream. And the dark being explained to him who he was. He said, I was a slave in your bloodline of ancestry. Your great-great-great-grandfather was able to put me on the altar and offered me as a sacrifice for the prosperity of this bloodline. And so he kept on hearing the story. The man who was actually a dark being was explaining to him that I was actually working for your great-grandfather. And at the time he was asked to offer a sacrifice for one of his sons, he refused. He decided it would be me. I was actually on the altar and I wasn't so far from celebrating 29. I hadn't married. And I requested them to give me the time to at least celebrate my birthday and get married. But they refused. So on the altar, I declared no male will pass 29 years of age. And all of them at 29 were dying. The dark being looked at him and he told him, because you have appeared in war and cried out to your God, the laws have changed in your favor. From that time, in that family, all the males lived beyond 29. You are here right now. There are things that are actually putting an embargo on you. You are in the right celebration today. Life is lived once, ladies and gentlemen. There has to be a decision that there are some things between now and the end of the year, they have to change in your favor. Oh, you need to shout a louder amen right here. I said they have to change in your favor. When this woman was able to break that embargo, everyone in his bloodline was able to move into their next level. Ladies and gentlemen, life is war. And when you understand it is so, then you position yourself also like a warrior, but not in the context of unbelievers, in the context of a believer. Your Bible says, after having put on the whole armor, stand. He never told you to go for war. And listen, when you put on the armor, you dress to go. But God advises you, according to Paul's word, that put on the armor and stand after having done all. Why are you standing? Because you're standing on the ground that you already know Christ has already finished it. So you're not fighting for, you are fighting in. You're not fighting for healing, you are fighting in healing. By the way, let me break it down. For a believer to be prayed for healing is out of order. The order of God, according to scripture, is that God has ordained for believers to live in health. That is why they have said every believer that goes to church at least twice per week and understand why they go, that they rarely fall sick. This is a research. And if they fall sick, the likelihood of them getting healed quicker is higher than a man that doesn't go to church. Your amen is not there. I wish I had a louder amen right here. Are you hearing me? Okay, maybe I could use an example to break it down. When a man and a woman go to the doctor, gynecologist, and tell him we are not able to get a child. Africa, we begin with a woman to check. What is exactly the problem with the woman? If the woman has no problem, then the doctor will turn to the man. If the man is okay, then the doctor, please take all things maturely, will advise that the two of them should engage in sexual continuity until the time that there will be what we call conception. Now, you must understand, the doctor has two reasons for encouraging that. Reason number one is that at every point there's continual intercourse, the woman is growing more healthier. They say there are 28 benefits, of sex. Are you understanding me? Back pains can be cured. Headache can be cured in marriage. But let me just continue. Are you hearing me? They say that women increase in weight not because of family planning, but because of proteins. And so when the sperms of a man get into a woman, not all of them are flushed out. Some of them are absorbed into the bones of a woman. So a girl that was 43 kilograms is 93. And you have to encourage her to return back to the gym. What happened? She was receiving proteins. I know you won't say amen. Can I? Am I in church right here? If you hear me say, I hear you. Now, why am I saying all this? The point I am bringing about is for a believer to suffer ailment is out of order. I'm bringing a point here. So to a believer, we live in the context of divine health. That is why in your Bible, Jesus never healed Peter. Jesus never healed Judas. Jesus never healed doubting Thomas. For 3.5 years, all of them lived in divine health. Jesus only ministered healing to the multitude. But when it came to the 12 disciples, there was a different diet they were eating. You need to give me a louder amen right here. There was a diet that gave them health. That's why Solomon says in Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 20, my son, incline your ear to my saying. He says, keep them in your heart for their health and their life. So every time the word is coming, your health is improving. That's the example I was giving, that the man is told, improve your health, your wife's health. In other words, are you understanding? Then there is a time that will come that as our health is improving, the conception will break through. It's like this way. It's like you coming to church from January, no testimony. February, no testimony. But you're consistent and there's intercourse between you and the word. The sperm of the word is making you healthy. I'm coming. Praise the name of the Lord. So every day without you knowing, something is improving in your life. So you begin to grow fat and you fulfill Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah 10 and verse 27 says, and the yoke shall be destroyed. I know you always say, because of the anointing. But that is not the original. The original says, the yoke shall be destroyed because your neck. So every time you're coming to church, you don't know. You are adding weight. 43 is becoming, oh, I want you to slap your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I'm adding weight. I'm adding weight. I'm coming. I want you to slap the other one. Tell them again, neighbor, I am adding weight. So he says a yoke will be destroyed because your neck. The difference between the yoke being destroyed because of the anointing and the yoke being destroyed because of the fatness of the neck is if the anointing destroys it, it is an external power. That yoke or another of the same kind can fit into your neck. But if you grew fat, it means the challenge you face, you can never go back there again. Ladies and gentlemen, every time you have been coming from January, you have been growing fat. But the idea is God doesn't just want to make you fat in the spirit. God is looking forward to make you restless. That without you knowing, there's an energy developing in you. God is confirming that you're truly committed. God is confirming you're zealous about believing him irrespective of your challenge. God is confirming whether you're given to him. That it's not the money, it is him you're looking for. It's not the breath, it is him you're looking for. And without you knowing, something is enlarging on the inside of you. I wish this mic would be louder. I feel a bit limited. I don't know why. Something is growing louder on the inside of you. So what exactly happens to you? All of a sudden, the things you had faced by November, as there is a celebration, something begins to break out. So they said, the woman and the man, as they continue, a time will come, the woman will say, my periods are not there. I don't know whether it's a problem. It's not a problem. One day God says, now the siege has been broken. And he now says, a season for the woman to get her pregnancy is now appeared. Could I declare right here that there is somebody seated in this congregation who has been there from January, there from February in Rivers Church. You haven't seen an answer. Well, congratulations that you are seated here. Because during this day, God is about to give you an answer to your prayer. If you believe it, shout yes. Shout a louder yes. Shout a resounding yes. War is necessary for confirmation. Secondly, war builds you. War makes you who you are. War proves who you are. Without war, you can never be built. When a young man heard from God, and God told him, pick up a sledgehammer, break the rock. The young man picked it in a hurry and began to break it, but he didn't respond. The young man became agitated and turned to God and told God, God, the thing is not breaking. And the Lord told him, take some steps behind. Look at yourself. He looked at himself. He said, have you noticed that you have grown bigger? He said, yes, Lord. His biceps were protruding. His chest was coming out. He had over six, what we call them, packs on him. The man discovered that he had actually built capacity. And the Lord told him, now, while you focus on the rock, I was focusing on you. So he said, God, what do I do then? God told him, now I have given you confirmation. Go ahead and strike the rock. Sometimes the fact that some things don't happen doesn't mean you're out of direction. There are people who always say that the will of God gives a free flow. I say not every time. In the will of God, there will be opposition. Oh, I need an amen right here. In the will of God, there will be warfare. But in the same will of God, without you even knowing, God is building muscles on the inside of you. It took God to push Moses to the wilderness to build him and remove Egypt out of him, put himself in him, and send him back to become a deliverer. Listen, you are here. God is about to commission you afresh. As we celebrate the second year of this ministry, we are also celebrating your beginning of rising. And the yoke you have seen, you shall see it no more. If you believe it, clap your hands and shout aloud hallelujah right here. Job says, shall a man live once? Shall a man die if he live once? And it's clear that you have to live life once. So number one, he says, all the days of my warfare. Number two, he proceeds. He says, and all the days of my service. So God has two platforms of grace. Platform number one, warfare. Platform number two is service. God says, I want to see whether you can serve me even when seasons change. I want to see whether you can be committed to me even when things look a bit ugly. Pastor Funke Adejumo gave a story of her own sister and how the sister had served her as her personal PA. Did everything and honored her completely. The time came when the sister had to do her wedding. And Funke said they did everything as a church and as a family to ensure her wedding was all that. Things went well. But it didn't take so long that after that, the wedding, 1 year passed by, the second year passed by, and they never saw the manifestation of their labors. Because in Africa, by the time the second year is there, we have to see whether your labors are proven. Oh, your amen is not. Are you hearing me? In other words, a woman was not getting pregnant. Third year, things were not okay. Fourth year, things were not okay. By the time the fifth year, Pastor Funke said she went before God and wrestled with God and told God, God, this cannot be so. Scriptures are clear that when we serve, you will lift barrenness from us. How come she's struggling? And God answered the question, go and ask your sister, when was the last time she attended choir practice? She called the sister and asked her, sister, where are you? She said. She asked her, when was the last time you attended choir practice? She said, over 3 months ago. She said, I gave up on God. I felt like God is not answering me. Why should I go for other people's baby showers? Here are people who just got married recently and they are getting children and I'm the only one struggling. That is when, while they were conversing, again God spoke. And God told her that I've been sending angels with babies in the choir practice. But every time they are coming in that location, they do not meet her. Tell her to return back to her place of service. When she told the sister that, it took 1 month and a half, and they discovered that she had conceived. The girl broke the siege because of commitment to service. You know, by the time the year begins, people serve with zeal. But as it progresses, people's service begins to wear down. People have every reason why they are feeling tired by January, by December rather. People have every reason why they need to take a break. And God is saying, no, the platform of grace number two is a platform of service. If you are here, you have been giving up. I came to tell you, return back. Get out of discouragement. If you're seated here and your soul has been weighing you down because of the battles you face, I came to tell you, like Job who went through warfare, make a decision that no matter whether he slay you, you will still worship him. God deserves your service irrespective of your warfare. God deserves your service irrespective of your challenge. I wish I had an amen right here. Serving God is a commitment that you are zealous to believe him and believe what he will do irrespective of what you are facing. That is why Jesus could use Peter in an easy way. He comes to Peter when Peter's about to give up. He picks up the boat of Peter, preaches from the boat of Peter, turns to Peter and tells him, cast your nets into the deep. The Jaduolo, Luo Broda, called Peter Otieno, turns to Jesus and tells Jesus, Jaduong, Jackworth, don't you understand that I have labored the whole night? In other words, we don't fish during daytime. When you throw the nets into the water during day, when fish see Peter, they run away. We fish at night. Oh, I wish I'm talking to somebody here. We fish when we suspend the lantern into the water. I wish I had an amen right here. Fish is attracted to the light. Without knowing, they come into a net and we drag them in. But he changes his mind. He said, nevertheless, at your word. And by the time he opens his mouth like that, all of a sudden when they throw the net, not even nets, because he's partially disobeyed him. The Bible says they received a net-breaking miracle that was about to mess them up once again. Historians say Peter was in debt. Historians say they were ready to come and take away his boat because he couldn't be able to pay the debt. So he needed a breakthrough that night. But because he gave it to Jesus, the breakthrough he received was enough to clear the challenges that he has ever had. I'm here to tell somebody, come back to service. Serve again. I said, serve again. No matter what you're facing, let the devil know that you're given to your master. God deserves your praise and your service, irrespective of the warfares you are facing. I'm almost feeling a breakthrough coming here. God deserves your commitment, even when you don't feel like it. Crying, but I'm still serving. Feeling like I want to give up, but I'm dragging my feet to church again. Pastor Stan, what do you want me to do? Every time you're doing that, heaven is clapping. They are saying, look at a warrior. This one is ours. They are on their way to the next level. And I see you rising to that level again. If you believe it, shout aloud, yes. Service is what you do. It's a platform of grace that you sing and your house has been closed. Pastor Stan has no idea, but while you are doing that, grace is being built. Grace is being built. I thought I had an amen right here. We have a problem nowadays with many churches because everyone believes they have to be paid. But there is a place you reach where it is more than payment. You come to a place where you know that there is what we call a reward, which is different from a payment. I tell people you have an option. You can live on a salary system or you can live on a reward system. My choice is a reward system. want you to turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I'm breaking this thing. I'm breaking this thing. Turn to another one. You know, preaching the first one is hard work, particularly after lunch. After some Getheri here, Ugali and Mokimo here, so I have a bit of work right now. But it has to break. Look at another one for me. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I am breaking this thing. Turn to another one. Tell your neighbor, I'm going back to service. I am going back to service. If you believe it, shout yes! God has to give you a revival here today. If you don't give yourself in zeal, even when you are going through pain, you are not what a reward. That we are all earning 100,000, but what I have working for me is different from what you have. They say there are three bad addictions in life: heroin, cocaine, and number three is a salary. If you live on that dimension, I know you won't say amen. Did I say I carried my amen? Amen. Are you understanding me? So if you live on that dimension where everything is governed by a salary, you are limiting heaven from granting you some favor. A man in Deliverance Church, Kisii, used to be an accountant in a church. Throughout the time he served in the bank, he never had a car. When he felt a calling to go and serve God in his church as a chief treasurer and accountant in their church, gave himself and he decided to serve. Within the 1 year, a couple after one of the services came to him. They looked at him and they told him, "We like the way you serve. We are intrigued by it. And we felt within ourselves to bless you with a car." I don't know whether, are you hearing me right here? What he never got when he labored in the bank, God walked into the picture. The man was given a brand new car. And before he would go getting excited, they told him, "We are not done. We also have an extra 350,000 for fuel." If I were you, I would have shouted amen right there. What was God trying to tell the man? You have an option of a salary system or a reward system. Serve God irrespective of what you face. When you serve God, you will notice that God will begin to open up the heavens and bring you into a day of celebration. I remember one day, I listened to Bishop T.D. Jakes make a statement that stuck with me, particularly when I went through warfare. He quoted the story of Paul speaking to Timothy and telling him, "Bring my parchments." He was in jail at that time. "Bring my books and ensure you also bring my cloak." Then he began to interpret them. He said the cloak is symbolic of encouragement. It was winter. He needed something to keep him warm. Everyone in life needs encouragement. But not only did he need the cloak, he also needed books. Why? Because even in your warfare, it's important to stay relevant. Keep on improving yourself. Beyond that, he even went further. He explained that the man never just had the books. He also had parchments, which was good as foolscaps, where he was writing letters. Under war, he's still producing some answers and solutions for nations and generations. And therefore, he began to preach. He said, "We all need encouragement, but we also need to stay relevant. But in war, still manifest yourself. Let your potential be discovered in warfare." Come on, you need to shout aloud amen right here. I'm about to close. Just stay with me. So when we look at the Bible, men that served like Joseph, by the time he tells the father and the mother and the brothers of the dream, and he sold Pastor Stan as a slave to Egypt, while in Potiphar's house, Joseph served. He never held himself back. He poured his all to an extent that they discovered everything he touches prospers. Your Bible even says Potiphar decided to leave him with everything. The man shined so much that the wife of Potiphar began to shake a nyash, her bonbon, passing every day. Saying, "Oga, look nash. Oga, look nyash." Joseph never gave any response. Am I talking to somebody here? The brother had served for 3 years, according to historians. The wife caused problems for Joseph. He was thrown to prison for 10 years. One man began to create a question that the order of Joseph was out of order. He said the Bible says from glory to glory, Joseph was glory to problems. Another man stood up and said, "No, you have not read your Bible well." He said, "Yes, it is true, there was glory in Potiphar's house. Yes, it is true, it looked like he went down to the dungeon for 10 years and was left to rot. But I want you to understand, in Potiphar's house, he was a slave. In jail, he was a free man." In other words, the day when the interpretation of the dream of Pharaoh had come, if he was to interpret it as a slave in Potiphar's house, he would have been told, "Return back and go and work." But when he was thrown into prison, he was only released to his next level. You know, I don't like the way. Are you hearing me right here? So some of the things you may be seeing may be bad. But Joseph, even when in prison, he gave his all. Poured out every ounce of strength he had. Gave it all. The Bible says he was elevated to the extent he had two people coming close to him. And the two of them, when they came close to him, they had dreams, and he interprets and tells one, remember me when you are restored. God is setting everything in motion for a man that looks like he has lost. And maybe you are here, you lost your job this year. Maybe you are here, there are challenges that you actually face. I came to tell you congratulations. You are actually on your way to a higher promotion right here. If you believe it, you need to shout a loud amen right here. Joseph served while he was in prison, Pastor Stan. The day he interpreted the dream, the man was restored, called the cupbearer, and he forgot him, because men do forget. They say, serve a dog 4 times, it will never forget you. Serve a man for 4 days, they will forget you. The man forgot Joseph, but who is like God, who never forgets our seeds of service? One day, Pharaoh has a dream. And in the dream, when he stands up and tells everyone, none can interpret. Then the cupbearer remembers, Pastor Sam, that there was a man that was able to interpret for me. I don't know who you are, but God is about to make somebody to remember you. I carry good news today. I wish I had an amen right here. He said there was a man, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 46, that they called for Joseph by haste. They told him, chapter 41 rather, they said, let him come in a hurry. The moment Joseph was brought in, his interpretation and in addition his counsel was able to give him a seat of promotion. Whoever you are, keep on serving. Serve God in season. Serve God out of season. Serve God in tears. Serve God when rejoicing. Serve God when you have money. Serve God when you don't have money. Let the world know you are given, you are sold out, you are an addict to the service of God. All the days of my warfare, in my service shall I wait. Service, a platform of grace. I'm concluding my message. And then he now jumps to the next level. And he opens his mouth. And then begins to declare very clearly. Not only is service a platform of grace, but the purpose of the platforms is to give you 2 things in life. Number 1 is change. And number 2 is to give you a release. Everyone in life needs a new break. Everyone in life needs a platform that will usher them to what they ought to be. Many are seated here. People don't know who you are, what you carry, the potential and the grace on the inside of you. They only see you, but what you need is an opportunity that will cause you to shine. The Bible says the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Favor is not to men of skill, but time is what you need, and a chance is what you need. I don't know whether, are you hearing me right here? So we need that. Change is a possibility in life. I came here with a prophetic word for somebody, that your change is here. I said your change has come right here. If you believe it, you need to help me shout aloud amen right here. He says, all the days of my warfare, Pastor Stan, and all the days of my service, shall I wait until my change. All I'm waiting for is, Lord, change something. Change something. Alter something in my life. Put me on a posture where things will begin to alter in my life beyond measure. The moment you begin to do so, then everything that people have seen, they will begin to see a difference in my life. And there is somebody seated right here that change is coming your way. Change is about to speak on your behalf. Change is about to open on your behalf. What men never knew about you, they are about to know after today. As we celebrate the anniversary today, God is bringing your change also. God is about to usher you to a level you have never been to before. If you hear me, you need to shout aloud hallelujah right here. You need to open your eyes to the reality that change is possible. Ladies and gentlemen, position yourself to that. Then in conclusion, he says, not only will my change come, but also my release. God doesn't facilitate change only. God facilitates a release. Did you hear what I just said? Release means that now you are permitted. You are given permission. You are given right to become all you were supposed to be. Every time a man has a release, you cannot hinder them from what God has appointed for them. The moment God says, I have released a man and I have marked him, everything changes about his life. Brief scriptural proof. Acts 12:26. Paul and another man have been serving, going from one city to the other. Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, and prophets and teachers gathered in Antioch, and while they were in prayer and fasting, ministering to God, God said, separate for me Saul, who is called Paul, for the work of ministry. When they doing ministry, they were doing it in Acts chapter 12. They were doing ministry in Acts verse 12 and verse 26. They served God with all vigor. But God said, there's something new I want to put in the life of this man. So in Acts chapter 13, he says, separate for me. And they call them, fast again, lay hands on them, and something lands on Paul. For the first time, the preacher no longer preaches. All that follows him is signs and wonders. For the first time, the man no longer has arguments only. When he faces an argument, he displays the power of God. And everyone is quiet. In the late 80s, a move of God broke through. From the early 60s, when Pastor Apostle Joe Kayo was there, some young men picked it up and moved with it, people like Steve Munger. Later on, another group of people started picking it up from people like Steve Munger, and they began to manifest it. That's where later on, some of us were now emerging as spectrum ministries. Some of these young men began to tap into fasting and prayer and dimensions of power that had never been seen. One of them had boarded a matatu, and while in the matatu, he told his friend, "I feel the power of God." The friend told him, "What do you mean?" He said, "I want you to watch." He stood up and touched the javelin. We called it javelin that time. People were also touching the same javelin. He said, "I want you to watch the power of God." The man opened his mouth. He said, "I release the power." Everyone touching that rod all fell under the anointing. I'm still coming. If you don't hear me, I'm still preaching. Are you understanding me? Then one other day, two others were actually in fasting. One came out and said how he was bubbling with power. And he told his friend, "I feel God has released me." While sitting down together with his friend, he told his friend, "I feel power." The friend told him, "Where potele ambali?" He told him, "Mina, he see power. Watch him chase." He told him, "Potele ambali." He says, "Usimamewone." The friend dared him and stood up. He said, "Naku achilia power." And the man went down for 30 minutes under the anointing. 30 minutes after, when he woke up to clean up himself, the other one looked at him and told him, "Nili kwambia nina power." Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, "Nina power, nina power." What exactly happened? There was a dimension that God was releasing on young men during that season. There were men during that time. This is where some of us were actually being born. Where somebody would go ahead and tell you, "Touch the wall, the power of God is there." My friend, if you tried, you would go down under the power. I know many people admire other nations and they say they have. Let me tell you, there has been anointing in Kenya. It is still alive here. I said it is still alive right here. People that would go ahead and they would open their mouth and they would go ahead and tell you. I remember one time, one took a bowl of water and told everyone, "I don't have anointing oil, but the Lord has released me right now to pour this as anointing oil in all of you." As he released the water, people went down under the power. As they woke up, each one of them touching, it was oil. There is power, and God is about to release it here. If you receive it, give the Lord a clap and rise up on your feet right here. For 1 minute, I want you to lift up your hands. Repeat after me. Say, "Lord, I thank you for the gift of life. As we celebrate today, I thank you for the release that you're bringing into my life." Shout it aloud. Say, "I thank you for the release you are bringing into my life." Say, "Lord, bring my change. Set me on a higher level. Increase my influence. Increase my impact. Open my heavens." Lift your hands, declare it, say, "In the name of Jesus, I call upon your name. Remember my service. Remember my warfare. In the name of Jesus." Say, "Lord, between now and the end of the year, I ask that your hand will be revealed, that your power will be manifested, that you will open up my doors. You will settle my issues. You will answer my prayer." Say, "Lord, as we celebrate, move on my behalf." Now for 1 minute, I want to teach you, clap your hands just as you're praying. Make some declarations for 1 minute. Make some declarations. Just clap your hands and make some decree. Come on, make some decree. I want you to clap your hands, make some decrees. I'm doing it intentionally because I'm trying to break something. Clap your hands and make some decrees right now. Clap your hands and make some decrees. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands one more time. Let me open up something so that it will be easy as we continue. Lift your hands. Say, "In the name of Jesus." Lift them up high. "In the name of Jesus, I make a decree. My war comes to an end. I am restless today. My war comes to an end. Say, I make a declaration. Everything that is causing me not to manifest my true mandate, my true calling, I remove it now. I remove it now. Now, when you're praying a prayer like that one, you don't pray quietly. Shout it, I remove it now. By war, I break it now. Now, once again, clap your hands and make some declaration right here. Clap your hands and make some decree. Come on, I want you to shift something here. I'm about to submit the microphone, but I want you to shift something here. I want you to open and clap your hands. Make some declaration. Your friend is praying louder than you. You need to raise it, raise it. Raise it, raise a war cry. Raise a war cry. Raise a war cry. Raise it, raise it. Come on, open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. I need something to be lifted here. There's something that has to be removed here. Open your mouth, clap your hands and lift a war cry. Lift a war cry. Lift a war. In the name of Jesus. Let's take the last declaration. Lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I stand to celebrate what God is doing here. So I make a decree that as I celebrate in rivers, my life shall be celebrated. My life shall be celebrated. So whatever held me down, whatever delayed me, whatever covered my glory, you are lifted now. You are lifted now. You need to shout, you are lifted now. I will be celebrated. Now one more time, clap your hands. Command a time of celebration. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Come on. Come on, rivers. Come on, rock. Open your mouth and make a decree. We are almost there. We are almost there. Clap your hands. Let there be warriors rising. Hey. Shalomon teleka. Rope telekerebe. Ebron telekaria mapro. Shalin dalaba. One more minute. Clap your hands and make some decrees. Shalomon alabakaria mapro. Ebron telebe kandilaba. Yes. Now the meeting is opening. Shalina lavakoria mapre. Likana bakashka. Wobo shalikana maskondila. Lift up your hands wherever you are. Begin now to make a decree over your life. Make a decree over your life. My time is here. My change has come. Come on, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Something is settling in this house. Something is settling in this house. Something is settling in this house. Lord, we give you praise. Lift your hands and just bless his name. We give you glory and honor. We appreciate you. Come on, just worship him. You are high and lifted up. You are the most high God. Blessed be your name, O sovereign one of Israel. None can be able to compare to you. Praise him. Just come. I'm yielding this. In talabo shalika. Come on, lift your hands and just bless his name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Come on, come on, come on. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Come on, you can do better, work assemblies. Bless his holy name. Shanina mandolo korama nama sonanama. Come on, you're not yet there. You're not yet there. I want you to rise. There's something I want to be lifted in this setting. God is releasing something here. Shila mandala magoria ma protoseleme. Rome tani mananama. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Shanina mandolo mokorama masonderebe.
Thank you for sticking in to the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.